Father, we just continue to thank you for just your grace you poured out upon your children on this line. Thank you for the hunger, the desperation you put in our heart for your presence and to be mindful, Father, to fulfill your mandate upon our lives in the area of intercession. So, Father, thank you so much for everyone on this line. And for your children who are truly crying out to you for the destiny of the church to come forth and the nations. So, Father, thank you. Receive glory and honor. Magnify your Son, Jesus, and reveal yourself to us. Have your way tonight. Thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Thank you for clarity. Thank you for understanding. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you all so much for being on the line. It's just so refreshing every time just to know that God has a remnant of people all across the world, and we are partakers of those of you on the line who are just consistently burdened with the will of the Lord, the heart of the Lord for the nation and for our generation. Thank you. God alone will reward this level of faithfulness you're working in. Amen. During this time of where we're just learning together as the Spirit of God is instructing us, occasionally as we are receiving understanding on the areas of how to position ourselves in times of crisis, spiritual warfare, seeking the glory of the Lord, understanding how to live between a father and son's relationship, and the love and all the things we're learning. Occasionally, we need to, you know, as intercessors, as watchmen, as gatekeepers, sometimes we need to kind of bring a little understanding to the signs and the times we live in so that we also can be positioned to pray into the season correctly. Amen. So there's a reason why God has given us seasons. You know, you all know that seasons really change our lifestyle in a very drastic way. We are now going very soon from fall to winter, and you know what that means. Very soon some of us will start putting on some heavy coats, some heavy suits. We change, start wearing boots. So everything changes because the season changes. So we position ourselves that we don't get cold in winter by the things we do. So also with spiritual seasons, as we discern the times, we also position ourselves to be effective instruments in God's hands, especially in these days we're living in. So I want to share just briefly this interlude of time, just a little bit understanding into where we are and what I am sensing God is doing and saying to us. I want to read a familiar scripture here to begin. This is in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 12, verse 32. He said, And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. So, and the children of Issachar, they had understanding of the times, the seasons, the prophetic spiritual seasons of their time. So we thank God for that. Now, I want to use some analogy from scriptures, from the physical, and then I'm going to take it to the spiritual, like we normally always do in this line for proper understanding. Now, it's important for us to understand physical seasons, and also it's important for us to understand spiritual seasons. But understanding physical things always gives us a better awareness and the intensity and the urgency and the weight of spiritual seasons. So we want to look at a physical season in the life of a woman, and then we'll relate that prophetically where the Lord is leading us tonight. And eventually, I will tell you why I'm sharing this with you. And I really want to commend and thank God for the sensitivity of the willing women as they receive the words of the Lord pertaining to this season, and they truly run in obedience. And I thank God for what they're doing, and I will say something about that at the end. So let's use a physical example to get understanding. So let's use a woman. So I'm going to read here from the book of Genesis chapter 3. The background of this, from verse 1, started with the fall, you know, the temptation and the wilderness in the garden, and then there was a fall. Just let me pause a second. I think our sister Yvonne advised all of us to kind of mute our phone. There's somebody that is on the line. Your phone is not mute, so we're hearing a little bit of a background noise. Thank you very much. Genesis chapter 3, the beginning was exactly what happened with the fall, the temptation in the garden. So after the fall, after the Adam and Eve fell, this is what happened. God gave some the consequences, some of the manifestation of the consequences, how it will affect the man. You know, he will start laboring in labor, you know, to produce fruit. Then the consequence on the serpent. So, but I want to read the consequence on the woman. From this is beginning from Genesis. Genesis 3, I'll read from verse 16. Verse 16, so God spoke to the woman. He says, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. Use the word sorrow here, means pain. And thy, I will multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. It says, then in sorrow, meaning in pain, thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over you. But the point I'm bringing here is, it says, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. So basically here, we see that this was not God's original plan for the way children are to be born. But we see that after the fall, some of the manifestations of the fallen man, the fallen nature, is that God had to allow a process for childbirth. So he says, for a woman gets pregnant, for the child to be born, that's where we get the word birth pain. So he says, in sorrow, in pain, the child will come forth. So that's where it started in Genesis. So when a woman becomes pregnant, there's a child in her womb, and the child grows over a period of 9 months. But when the due season is come, the fullness of time is come, then there's a shift in the positioning of the child towards the birth canal. And then the woman that has been carrying pregnancy for a while, you see, externally, there's a visible sign that the woman is pregnant. But then there is a sign that God gave that will tell you the timing of childbirth and the fullness of the timing of childbirth. So God talks about birth pains. Birth pains. Most times in both in the Old Testament, when they use the word sorrow, when you click it in Hebrew or Greek, it talks about the birth pains. Birth pains. So here we see the origin of these birth pains in women. So it's something that is unavoidable. It's something that came out of the fallen man. Now, as childbirth continues all through the Old Testament, we see now that there is also a provision God has made through training and through tradition to reduce the pain that comes through childbirth, and also to cause the childbirth to be safe for the delivery to be safe, for it to come without much pain, to induce some enough relief for the woman and for this child to be born without too much, you know, without any damage to the child per se. So all through the Bible, you see the word midwives. So you see eventually midwives through history. They started, women started knowing how to help a woman deliver, how to nurture them. Then there was no technology and all these great things we have today. So they work with the woman, go through a process and help the woman give birth very well, reduce a lot of pain, and the child is born safely and sound. And we call them midwives. They aid, they help facilitate the timing of birth. So we see that in the days of, you know, Pharaoh, the midwives were very, very, very faithful midwives that gave birth in Israel, and midwives all through history. So today we see in our hospitals, doctors and nurses now helped that facilitate birthing, you know, and some people still give birth through midwives at home. Now we see that provision is made for proper delivery, but you can't avoid pain except, you know, after much prayer. Some people give birth without that. But naturally, you have birth pains. So now we understand this principle as far as the human nature is concerned. It's a given. It's a principle that takes place in a pregnant woman. So having that understanding physically, I want to read a few now more scripture to you to start connecting this spiritually. And then we get to somewhere. So the next scripture I want to read to you is from the book of John. And the background for this was Jesus is about to leave. And he's been with his disciples now for over 3 years. He's now about to be crucified. He's about to leave. He's telling them about his crucifixion and all the things that will happen. And he's about to depart. And the disciples were very sad. Very, very sad. So here's what Jesus told them. And I want to read this to you in John chapter 16. I'll read from verse 20. Jesus says, "Truly, verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy." And then he gave this illustration, verse 21. "A woman, when she is in travail," that is travail here, if you interpret it in Greek, it says childbirth or labor pains. "A woman, when she is in labor, had sorrow, had labor pains, because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world." So you see here again, Jesus is leaving. They did not understand his leaving, but he was going to suffer. He was telling them what he was going to go through, but what will come after his death. He was giving them an illustration with the position of a woman. "You're sorrowful now. You're going to go through this pain and all this stuff because I'll be gone. But then after resurrection, something is going to happen." And that was after that the church was born. So Jesus was pregnant with the destiny of the church, you know, and all this stuff. And so now we see how all these things connect now to the spiritual. Now, before we continue with the spiritual, in the direction that I want to share with you tonight, there are three major stages in child labor, in labor, when a woman wants to, in childbirthing, before delivery. The three stages in labor, they are the early labor, which is when a woman, of course, most of you know this better than I, some of you are nurses, when a woman's cervix dilates 3 centimeters, this is the growing dilation of the cervix of a woman, the process. So the first is the early labor, then the active, there is an increase in the dilation, and then the last one is the transitional, usually a dilation to 10 centimeters, now when the time for the woman to start pushing for the baby to come forth. At these different stages, at different levels of contractions. And at these different levels of contractions, there are different levels of expectation and pain that comes with it. But the most intensive pain and the frequency of the contraction intensifies is the transitional labor, which is that dilation that immediately leads to the pushing and the baby comes forth. So these are stages that a woman goes through when she comes to a season of birthing, a season of giving birth. So we see that though the woman is going through this unbearable pain, that sometimes most women say, I will never be pregnant again. You know, it's so painful, but they walk through it. But Jesus says, after that comes joy. Why? The pain was a transitional process to release the greatest blessing, the great joy that this woman has been carrying for a long time. So, and as a child. And Jesus used that to give the disciples understanding of the times and the season they were in, so they can position their hearts properly in that direction. Now, having said that, you see, as Jesus used it for spiritual purposes, so also the Bible is full of this same illustration all over. The prophets, all through the Bible, uses this same illustration when God deals with nations, when God deals with Israel, especially in the time when God is about to bring about a transition in the nation's life, bring about a transitional process in the nation's life. Transition is when a nation is undergoing the stages, the processes of the nation about to manifest their destiny, and something is about to happen, and you use the external pain a woman goes through to give you the timing and the season for what is inside coming forth, the child. So when nations are undergoing a process, and prophetically, they are worldly, so they don't have understanding of spiritual things. So what the world will see physically, just like what everybody sees with a woman physically, is she's pregnant. And then when a woman goes through the pain, you know she's in labor. You see that physically, but the baby is hidden within. So, but spiritually, why the reason Jesus was giving his own disciples this spiritual illustration with a woman is because physically people will see things happen, but most times they don't understand the spiritual reason behind that season. So Jesus is saying, hey guys, just like a woman comes to the season of birth and the end of her pregnancy time, carrying this, something is about to happen. And very soon she goes through transition, she'll be happy afterwards. So, hey, I'm leaving. My end is come. And you're not going to like the process, but after this, you're going to be really happy because I'm going to say something is going to happen. Something is going to be born. So, and that's what happened on Pentecost, and that's what happened from there, the joy. So now, that same principle, God uses for nations. I will not go through everything now, but I want to point out a few strategic scriptures that points you to how God used this in the life of nations. Now, there are certain things that God uses this same principle about birth, you know, birth pains. If you look at the book of Joel, if some of these scriptures, I'll encourage you to write down, then I'll come back and read the other ones to you that I want to use tonight. In Matthew 24, you see the Bible talks about, you know, all the things that will be coming upon the world because it's the end time, the shakings, the earthquakes and that. And it talks about Matthew 24, verse 7-8, it says, but this is the beginning of sorrows. If you click that in Greek, it says, but pains, beginning of but pains. So you see that there. Then you go to different, the book of Joel, most scriptures also in the prophets, it talks about blood pain in Isaiah. But one particular thing I want to bring tonight as we look at the scriptures to do with the nation is not just blood pain this time. I want to add something that also bears witness with the seasons when nations experience or nations are undergoing a process of transitional process that doesn't make sense to the world. But as believers, the Bible says we should be like the children of Issachar. We are able to discern the times when we see physical signs. Amen. So a few scriptures we want to look at now as regarding this this particular time with the nations is one. I want to read one pertaining first about Israel. When God was dealing with Israel, God was dealing, he deals with Israel through prophets. And one of the prophets that God called during the northern Israel was undergoing a lot of things, and their season of purging has come, was the prophet Amos. They've been warned several times, warned and warned and warned and warned, and they will not listen. So at this point, God gave Amos a vision, and Amos saw this vision in Amos chapter 8. It's about, behold, a basket of summer fruits. And he said to Amos, what seest thou? He says, I see a basket of summer fruits. Then said the Lord unto them, to me, the end is come upon my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. So here, God was now warned, telling Amos, I've warned them, I've dealt with them, but now I am going to deal really strongly with them. They're going to go through a transitional labor process, you know. But again, remember that this process is always, there's something behind the scene that is to bring great joy, to bring a release. But here is what I want to read to you. Whenever God warns, he will warn all through the Bible, prophets will warn, but whenever you see God add what I'm about to read to you to the warnings, you know that there is going to be an acceleration of blood pains. So here in Amos 8, God was now warning, telling them, and then he said, I want to read to you in Amos 8 verse 9, God says, for time, because I want to read, let me read verse 8. He says, anyway, let me just read 7. So you, the Lord has sworn by his excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. It's talking about the iniquity of the land. Shall not the land tremble for this, and every man mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall it not rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt? Now, verse 9 is the pattern I want to go tonight really quickly. Verse 9 says, and it shall come to pass in that day, that very season, when you see there is talking about season, in that day, says the Lord, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. Now, the reason I'm reading this is because I want to challenge you to go study, look at the word sun and dark. Everywhere you see where God darkened the sun, noonday, is always a sign of shaking. It's a sign of saying, I'm giving the world an open sign. But this sign can only be, the season can only be understood by spiritual eyes, what is behind. But it's always a blatant sign that God, you know, that a transition is coming upon the people. So God gave Amos that sign to warn Israel that the next thing they're going to see is that eclipse. We call it eclipse today. The sun is in the noonday as a sign that is about to really move and shake Israel and bring forth his righteousness. Now, I want to read another scripture to you. And this is in the book of, what I just read to you in Amos was relating to when God was going to shake Israel, the northern kingdom. But this one I want to read to you was a prophecy that God revealed to Isaiah about the time and the season that he was going to shake Babylon. And he gave him a sign that when that time comes, what these things will, when people see this sign, they will know the time for Babylon's shaking has come. And so I read in the book of Isaiah chapter 13. It says, the burning of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. It says, lift up a banner upon the mountains. Excuse me, you can read and read and read and see. It says, the noise of a multitude. You know, we hear of war, rumors of war. He's talking about that in verse 4. It says, there come a far country from the ends of heaven, the weapons of indignation. He talks about all this. He says, how for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction. You know, he says all this as a warning. But here in verse 8, I want you to see what he says in verse 8. From verse 8 to 10, take note of this. He says, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. If you see that word pangs, if you have your Bible, that word again is it says is a pain of a woman at childbirth. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that is in labor. They shall be amazed one at the other. Their faces shall be as flames. That's fear will grip the land. They are running for fear. Verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both wrath, anger that, and the land shall be desolate, and there will be destruction. Verse 10, for the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be dark in its going forth, and the moon shall not give its light to shine. Again, it says the sun shall be dark in its going forth. Again, at noon. The sun shall be dark at noon, meaning there will be an eclipse. So the Bible talks in Genesis chapter 1 verse 14 that God will use the sun and the moon as signs to determine seasons in the earth. But specifically, when God warns through prophets and he says he's going to do something that will come as bought paints, and then whenever he adds that the sun will turn dark at noon, you know there's going to be an acceleration of shaking in the land to awaken the people. But most interestingly, God is talking about a transition moment, that the nation has come to a transition moment. So, but what we need to take note is what God did with the physical woman is an illustration. With nations, it can be years, it can be months, it can be a season of years. But you have to take note of the stages of labor. Just like a woman, you have to watch the progressive labor. But anytime along the progressive labor, you eventually see the sun turn dark at noon, you know the nation is about to enter into an acceleration, a transitional moment. So now I want to read another one to you in the book of Micah. Micah chapter 3. Anyway, you can read that for time because I want to explain a few things before we close. Micah chapter 3 verse 6 will tell you again, when God was going to judge Israel, he also spoke to Micah, he spoke to Amos. Both of them made reference to birth pains. Both of them made reference to the sun turning dark at noon as a sign to unbelievers. But that should be as an awakening to believers. So whenever God uses physical signs, he uses it specifically for unbelievers. But spiritual people need to see what is behind that, understanding the signs of the times. Now, if you remember very well, again, if you go to the book of Joel, it talks about I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters, you know, our signs in the heavenlies, that. And then it talks about the sun shall turn dark and the moon. So again, that's not talking about now, but it's just talking about, again, whenever you see the sun turn dark, again, you see it's a time of shaking, and it always refers to a moment of shaking. Then if you go to the book of Revelation chapter 9, it talks about, again, when the sun turned dark, always referring to seasons of shaking. Revelation 9:16. And then if you go to the interesting one again in the days of Jesus on the cross, if you remember, if you go to write it down, Matthew 27 from verse 45 to verse 51, the Bible says from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, the sun turned dark. It was an eclipse. And what happened on that cross, it was a shaking and an earthquake, and the people saw it and they said, this is truly the Son of God. And Jesus, of course, died at that time, and the veil of the temple was rendered. So you see a moment again when Jesus was judged on the cross because he carried iniquity of, again, there was an eclipse. Why? It was a sign to the world, to an unbeliever. Now, just so you understand, there's always eclipse. The eclipse is not something new. If you go to NASA's website, there's eclipse all the time. But when eclipse specifically aligns to a nation, that nation needs to take watch. But when the eclipse is not only aligned to a nation, but there are signs of butt pains attached to the eclipse, then you know that there is a butt pain. There is definitely an acceleration. There is a transitional process. That nation is about to either give birth to a spiritual destiny, and the wickedness in the nation is about to be poised, and the nation is about being awakened to their sensitivity to righteousness, to spiritual things. Now, whenever we see these things as believers, you remember we talked about midwives. You see, if you remember midwives, the purpose, midwives in the physical with a woman, they help the moment. They nurture the woman. They massage. They do a lot of things to make sure the woman don't feel the pain as much. And then they help reduce the risk of the child going through any kind of problems. So the same thing with intercessors, the same thing with watchmen, the same thing with prophets. The reason God uses physical signs, it's not so much for prophets, it's not so much for intercessors, it's more for unbelievers. And usually before God will use the sign of the eclipse, it's usually when the nation has been warned and warned and warned and warned and warned. So now, if you study these prophets, you see those symbolism there. When Babylon fell, Israel suffered, the book of Joel, and see what happened on the cross and all this Revelation. So now, what is happening now is, before 9/11, but specifically from 9/11, America started going through stages of labor pains, because America carries a prophetic destiny for a move of God. America is pregnant with the greatest move of God ever dreamt in history, and pregnant with a refreshing from the throne of the Lord. Nobody knows when. So that's what butt pain. You're pregnant. You never go through labor pains unless you're pregnant. So America carries a destiny from God. But also on the surface, the physical appearance of the nation in alignment with other forms of wickedness in the nation, what we see on the surface. So sometimes, like I just read to you with Israel, I just read to you about Babylon. Take time, go read more about that and read the fall of Babylon. You see this prophecy of Isaiah came to pass, in the days of Babylon. So now, what is happening is, America is pregnant, prophetically. People have been praying. Souls are in the nation. But on the outside, America is being growing fat. You know how the womb of a woman grows really big? You can see the pride of the nation has become so big. But behind that pride, just like a woman's stomach is so big, is visible, the pride of the nation is so big all over the nation. The whole world can look at America and see that her pride is pregnant. But behind that pregnancy is a child, is the destiny of the church, is the future of a generation that will see a move of God, is what you've been praying for. So let's not look at the outward and look at the butt pains and look at, from 9/11, America has been going through stages. I don't know where we are with the stages, but these are stages of labor pains. These are stages of labor pain. And the only reason I'm sharing this now is because as I study scriptures, I found out that the moment a nation goes through stages of labor pain, and then at the time they see an eclipse, meaning when God now sends in the sign of the sun turning dark at noon, especially when it's only in that nation, is a warning to that nation that they are about to go into a transitional labor pain. But then it's also a good news, because then we're closer to whatever God wants to bring forth in the nation, because the long suffering of God desires that not even a wicked person perish, but that all come to repentance. Amen. So what is the role of intercessors at this point? The role of intercessors, you that have been praying for a long time, you that have been holding the hands of God, you that have been praying for mercy, you that have been pregnant to see God do something in nation, now is your opportunity. This is when a woman is at labor, that's really when she starts getting to the point of pushing. So this is the time to pray more for the nation. Because we've seen Harvey come to Texas, and then we see Emma come, and we see these various hurricanes. You know what, people, the world, they go by what they see. They see this, it happens, they get quickened, they get shaken, they pray, they fear a little bit, they go back again. But my brothers and sisters, God is giving us enough sign. So we as midwives, we are not to be like others that just go back and relax. Now we are to take heed of the signs, knowing that clear biblical sign is being given to us to pray. Because something is about to be born. I don't know when, I don't know. But just, it's important for us to press through the seasons as we go further into this year and next year, to really pray so that whatever America is pregnant with that God wants to bring forth will come forth. But also, as God shakes this butt pain, that the pain will be manageable. Just like if it wasn't for prayer for Harvey, if it wasn't for prayer for Emma, we will not be talking like this. It is 100% the prayers of the saints that caused everything to die out like this. So that's what we need to do, to pray fervently in this season. It doesn't mean that will stop the butt pain, but it will cause salvation to come rather than death and destruction. But it will bring an awakening that will prepare the hearts of the people to be able to receive as God breaks through into the atmosphere. And also to awaken ministers, to awaken churches, to begin to position themselves to take their prayer life seriously for the nation. Now, this is just a brief summary, just to kind of agree with what some of you already know is where we are in the season, but to provoke and to encourage you to sustain this momentum of prayer for the nation and not to let up, because something good is about to come forth, and we just kind of stay on it and see where God is going. Amen. But also, I want to use this time also to also thank God. God has given us prophetic voice in our time, and I thank God for the willing women. You all know that there are very few prayer ministries that are as serious as the willing women. I've worked with so many people, and the reason I know they are serious is they do the best they can not to act unless they hear from the Lord. And when they hear from the Lord, we are human. We're not perfect, but they have learned to have enough fear to run with what the Lord is saying, and they've seen fruit from it. I've witnessed it myself. So God has given a word through the willing women, and we need to take heed that seriously. So now I have shared with you visible signs for unbelievers, but we are also hearing prophetic voices that we bear witness with, calling us to a season of midwife role, praying and fasting, seeking the face of the Lord for the nation and the church, even at this time. So the willing women are in a season of fasting and prayer, which is the best way to position yourself and your heart in a season like this, and to really press through for the nation, and you'll be in a position to receive when God starts moving. So I want to encourage you, you know, if you're not fasting, you know, you can join the fast or choose your time to fast. I'll be calling our church to fast next month. Some of us are going into a season of fasting this month, and they are also fasting. So, but this is a time for us to truly align ourselves with heaven and really pray for the nation based on these very few signs, understanding I've given to you. So, be expectant. Don't be gloom and doom about the shaking, but just like a pregnant woman, be look forward, like Jesus says, more to what God is about to bring forth out of all the shaking that is taking place. But do not ignore this moment. Please take it seriously, and like the willing women are doing, you know, seek the Lord what you need to do and how you need to align yourself. And let's all, ASLP and willing women, let's all press in and see what God wants to do. And if nothing distracts us between now, with all this shaking, to during the prayer training time, I encourage as many of you that can to be at that prayer training, because there's some things that will be shared with you, understandings that will be given, and we're going to really pray and press through some things over the nation, especially in this season. Try to be at that prayer training. I'll be sharing some things with you there and bringing more clarity to this thing I just shared with you, and share more signs with you where the nation is going. Amen. So thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your commitment, your sacrifice as a house of prayer. And God, I will reward you physically, spiritually. And as God blesses the nation, He will remember you and your family. Amen. Father, thank you so much for this hour. And I pray, God, that you will just give more understanding and clarity to that which has already been spoken. And let your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' name.